It's Tuesday, May 14th, 2024, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellum.
I'm Matthew Moore. Today, dozens of cyclists will take on a six-day riding tour across the Ozarks to the Delta.
First of all, have you done the distance that we're requiring in a single day's ride? For example, can you ride 65 miles in a single day comfortably? Because if not, this is probably not the event for you because we're lining up 6 days of exactly that.
Plus, Northwest Arkansas transplants who overcame a reluctance to move to the region.
And I was like, absolutely not. You can go to Arkansas by yourself. I am not coming with. I'm like, you're from Canada. You don't even know what Arkansas is.
Well, I originally thought like Arkansas was close to California.
And headlines that leave us confused.
Farmer Bill dies in house.
Our militant grammarian has a collection of bewildering headlines. First, we get informed with NPR News.
KUAF is partnering with The Momentary to give away two-day passes to Fresh Grass Bentonville May 17th and 18th. This all-ages festival features live music performances, workshops, local vendors, and more. Winners announced May 15th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Giveaway entry at KUAF.com. More information and tickets at themomentary.org/freshgrass. The University of Arkansas Department of Political Science offers political science and public administration and nonprofit studies graduate programs. Both programs train the next generation of local, state, national, and global leaders in the public, nonprofit, and private sectors. Applications for fall 2024 and graduate assistantships are available for qualified applicants. plsc.uark.edu for more information.
Good Tuesday. This is Ozarks at Large for May 14th, 2024. I'm Matthew Moore. Happy National Buttermilk Biscuit Day. Ozarks at Large is produced by KUAF 91.3 at the Carver Center for Public Radio in downtown Fayetteville. Later on our show, we hear from Randy Wilburn, the host of the podcast I Am Northwest Arkansas. In celebration of the fifth anniversary of the show's launch, he's continuing his series on other locals who have transplanted to the region, just like him. Today, we hear from the folks behind the Instagram account, NWA Transplants. That's in our second half hour. In just a little more than 1 month, the Arkansas Graveler will take dozens of cyclists on a six-day riding tour across the Ozarks to the Delta, from Fayetteville to Jonesboro. Participants will travel 40 to 70 miles a day and spend 6 evenings in 6 different communities while enjoying curated food and activities. Scotty Moody is a former professional cyclist and the event director for The Graveler. She spoke with Ozarks at Large's Jack Travis about the mobile festival and says Ozark Foundation President Mike Spivey was inspired by a similar cycling tour in Iowa called RAGBRAI.
The acronym stands for something about riding across Iowa, but it's this community-driven cycling event. It happens every year in the summer, and people ride across the state, and the communities that they pass through open their arms and welcome these people in as they ride through by bike. It's become a huge thing, and it's a road cycling tour that attracts 10,000-plus people every year. And so Mike had this idea, well, what if we did the same thing, but it was gravel and it was a lot more unique to the natural state and all of the facets of what makes Arkansas so unique. And he kind of pitched it out to a few people. And I think I was the only one who raised my hand immediately and was like, I will do it. I want to do that. Because I've had so many memorable experiences riding my bike across Arkansas here and there. And so I really think that Arkansas is positioned well in the outdoor recreational space to host something special like the Graveler. A lot of people still don't know about the hidden gems of our landscapes and the types of communities that are across the board amazing in Arkansas. And so I've been really thrilled to see it come together and work with these host communities along our inaugural route for 2024.
Now, How should people think about the Graveler? Is it a race, a festival, just a ride? And maybe what are the differences between those and how's the Graveler operating?
Yeah, it's not a race. I've tried to be real vocal about that from the get-go, that this is more like a gravel festival, a multi-day gravel festival. And the reason we say that is it's so much more than just the pedaling part. yes, people are going to have a challenging 6-day ride to tackle, but when they get done every day, our host venues are set up every day with additional recreational activities sponsored by the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. This is inclusive of fishing, archery, skeet shooting, zip lining, all these different activities. In addition to that, we have a very notable chef who's partnered with us, who will be cooking up just really healthy, beautiful meals for everyone, breakfast and dinner every night. We have live music scheduled for every night. And we're really leaning into the venues for what they offer. For example, Kenda Drive-In Theater is one of our overnight locations, and she's going to play a big screen movie for us that night. And so it's really an adult summer camp. It's a really fun itinerary. And so that's why we call it so much more than a ride. We don't care how fast you do it. If you want to come in first, great. If you want to come in last, you're going to have an amazing experience too. And so I think people are really embracing this idea of a community gravel festival across the state that's fully supported by our staff.
So speaking of everyone, you know, feeling included, cycling can be a pretty male-dominated sport. What's your approach to ensuring everyone feels welcome and that they're supposed to be there?
Mm-hmm. That's such a good question. And the Ozark Foundation finds this topic incredibly important as well. And it's one of the reasons why they're doing things like putting a female into the event director position. You know, we've talked about how just my involvement is going to hopefully encourage other women to be a part of this. And across the state, you know, we hope to create this inclusivity that no matter your background or where you're from, or what you look like, or what you attribute your race to, that there's just an incredibly welcoming community. And the venues that I've chosen as overnight host communities, and I can list them for you, we're leaving from Fayetteville and going to Oark, Jasper, Marshall, Mountain View, Cave City, and the finale is in Jonesboro. And these particular host communities have really embrace this idea very warmly and are going to put forth just that incredible community vibe that we're after. So I'm really excited about that part of this particular event.
What would you recommend people have regarding their experience level? Do you have to be an experienced cyclist, gravel cyclist specifically? What would you recommend people do as far as maybe training or at least thinking about?
Yeah. A great way to kind of assess if someone is ready to ride is, first of all, have you done the distance that we're requiring in a single day's ride? For example, can you ride 65 miles in a single day comfortably? Because if not, this is probably not the event for you, because we're lining up 6 days of exactly that.
Right.
And so we are attracting, I would call, a non-beginner crowd. These are kind of your purists who love to get out on their bike for big miles every day and are willing to get up and do it again the next day. And, you know, that's a tough and rumble meetup crowd, and it's not for everybody. And we know that, but this event is really showcasing the touring cycling aspects. So going from point to point versus coming back to where you started, you're going to see diverse landscapes, different people groups, different communities, and different focuses on the cultural elements of Arkansas as you go from west to east. And so I think given the nature of riding in the Ozarks, the terrain is not easy. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has ridden gravel cycling in Northwest Arkansas is probably familiar with the challenges of our elevation here. And it's not that we're in the Rockies, but it is successive climbs back to back. So it's a lot of climbing in a total of 340 miles start to finish. But we do have, I do want to throw this out there. We have a single day mini graveler. If you don't want to tackle 6 days, come join us for Sunday, June 23rd, because that's a single day start to finish, point to point still, but we transport everyone back to Fayetteville that evening. So they're just going to join the kickoff, be a part of the big send-off out of Fayetteville, but get to come home that night.
As I've watched the rollout of the Graveler, I've been really impressed and struck by the marketing. And it makes sense now that I know that you're a marketing professional. What's your approach to that?
I approach this as I want to tell a story. I want to tell a story that showcases the beauty of Arkansas. I want to showcase the fact that gravel cycling in particular is inclusive of this type of community. I think I've learned some of my most valuable life lessons on expeditions by bike, and I know that this is going to be an incredible experience for the people who are willing to dive in and do this big ride. I think we're going to have some people that get done on certain days and burst into tears because it was that hard. And I think we're going to have other people who celebrate making new friendships. But either way, they're going to have their own unique story to tell. And that is what brings people together. And it's what excites me most about being involved in this type of effort.
Could you tell me about some of the challenges your team has encountered setting up an event like this? I mean, I'm just trying to think about logistically. I'm sure it was not easy. And I mean, during the event, a traveling festival, I mean, I can't imagine that. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
We realized very early on that to produce the type of, and when I say we, I'm speaking of the Ozark Foundation team. I could not do what I do as the event director without their support and their backing. And so they produce this event and own this event. And our team realized very early on that we were going to have to network to be successful. And so we've partnered with, for example, City Sessions. Northwest Arkansas is a music producer. We have handed them the bucket of music production. They hired our artists for every night and they're bringing the musical stage. And so we've contracted them to handle that particular business side of things for us. And so we're letting the people who have, skill set run with that skill set. And that's what I love about the Ozark Foundation team is they're willing to, kind of pass the baton and let people lead in areas where their strengths lie. And so as we were building the route, one of the most difficult logistics that we've run into is realizing that we've chosen some of the more rural communities of Arkansas. And so things like hotels, for example, hotels are not easy to come by in some of our host cities. And so we've done a lot of homework and we feel confident that we can, we've got if inclement weather comes, we have backup plans for overnight, getting people inside. It's all those little things, like keeping people safe is my number one priority as the event director. And so we have really girded this whole ride with things like SAG support, mechanical support, medical support. We have a whole team of people who are going to be on call should anything weird happen out there. And so we're really doing our best to bolster the participants with, say you start a ride and you have a terrible day. We've got you, we can pick this person up, put their bike on a bike rack and get them to the finish line where they can enjoy the rest of their evening. So we are doing our best to create just a premium experience for our riders.
That was Scotty Moody speaking with Ozarks at Large's Jack Travis. The Arkansas Graveler will begin on the lawn of Old Main on June 23rd. Registration is still open for the full event and the mini Graveler. You can visit ArkansasGraveler.com for more information. And for those curious, RAGBRAI stands for Register's Annual Great Bicycle Ride Across Iowa and is sponsored by the newspaper, the Des Moines Register. Ahead on Ozarks, the inaugural Strawberry Festival in Fayetteville Sunday will have more than the namesake fruit.
We're going to have two stages with music and a little bit of a variety of all types of music, but also there'll be a street dance. We've got several local chefs coming in to do food demonstrations.
A spring Sunday with music, dance, and food, previewed in just a few minutes on today's show.
When Israeli soldiers are accused of violating the rules of war, how does the Israeli military respond? Israeli Defense Forces say they probe every complaint, but critics see gaps.
Not every incident and not every complaint are being investigated in a criminal manner.
Wartime conduct and consequences. That's on the next morning edition from NPR News.
You can listen to Morning Edition tomorrow from 5 to 9. The Commerce Department's Office of Skills Development for the state of Arkansas is awarding $20 million in grant funding to train and equip more nurses. The funding comes from the Federal American Rescue Plan Act. Hugh McDonald is the Secretary of Commerce for the state of Arkansas. He says this funding will be critical to impact the nursing shortage in Arkansas.
You know, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do here is to increase the number of nursing professionals, nursing apprenticeships, and increase and retain our nursing educators, and do it in a way where our employers, obviously, we're going to hire them.
The $20 million will be awarded to 19 different recipients. Those eligible include any public or private post-secondary institution providing LPN, RN, and BSN degrees in the state. Each institution is also required to provide a healthcare partner contribution with a 2-to-1 match by the state for every dollar contributed. Northwest Arkansas Community College received the largest grant in Northwest Arkansas with more than $2.1 million awarded. Other institutions on the list included the University of Arkansas Fort Smith, John Brown University, and Arkansas Tech University. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders was also at the announcement. She says anyone in the healthcare industry will tell you that Arkansas is facing a nursing shortage.
We need great nurses in order to have great medical facilities, but we're not training enough of them fast enough, and that is where today's announcement comes in. The 19 two- and four-year colleges and universities here train some of the best nurses in all of America.
Governor Sanders says they estimate the United States will need nearly 300,000 new nurses by the end of the decade.
And the demand for nurses is growing faster than all other occupations. The pandemic underscored the need for more nurses. So this program will help fill our healthcare needs. The other issue is that nurses, on average, make more than the typical Arkansan. So this program helps us put our young people on a path to a long and stable career as well.
The grants are aimed at increasing nursing program capacity, professional development for current medical professionals, tuition reimbursement, and more. This is Ozarks at Large.
Sunday, the Fayetteville Strawberry Festival will be taking place on the square from noon until 6. Ozarks at Large's Sophia Narani spoke with downtown director Kelly Rich about what attendees can expect from the festival and how this recently created Downtown Fayetteville Coalition brought it all together.
The Strawberry Festival, tell me about what it is and how it came together.
So we are a fairly new organization. Up till about a year or so ago, Downtown Fayetteville did not have a dedicated staff member or organization that was focused on downtown specifically. So I moved here a little over a year ago, and we've been helping to build this organization. But to the general public, they're requesting more events. So we kicked it off last year with Falltoberfest on Dixon Street, which was a wonderful success, and of course kicked off the next conversation of what are you going to do next? So we started looking at maybe doing something to highlight the other part of downtown, the square and a long block, and to curate something special that highlighted that personality of that part of the square. And so Falltoberfest was very much catered to Dixon Street and what Dixon Street can offer. This is much more of a family-friendly, very much a curated to highlight our downtown businesses, and it should be a good time downtown. It's going to be Sunday, May 19th from noon to 6. It is free and open to the public. We're going to have two stages with music and a little bit of a variety of all types of music, but also there'll be a street dance. We've got several local chefs coming in to do food demonstrations. We've got a lot of make and take art activities for people to participate in. And we will have strawberries as well. So we've invited some local farmers to set up. And really leaning into the theme, I know we're going to have a lot of dessert vendors that are going to be doing a lot of pastries and things. I've heard something about a strawberry salsa, a strawberry jerky. Like, we're going all in, and it really should be a fun day downtown.
That sounds awesome. I heard something also about a pie competition.
Yes, we have two types of pie competitions. We're going to have a pie baking competition led by Rymalene's, the local pie experts here in town. But then we're also bringing in, Pinpoint has offered to do a pie eating contest, which will be hilarious. I'm super excited for Beau to take the lead on that. And that will be on the Block Avenue stage, I think at 5:30. But really, honestly, all of the details will be on our website, which is downtownfay.org. And truthfully, we're adding more and more every day. And so constantly, you know, continually come back to check, especially as you're getting ready for that weekend, to help make your lineup and your itinerary plan for the day.
Okay, so you mentioned it already that farmers are going to be participating. And where are you guys going to be getting your strawberries?
We're working with Reagan Farms. We've got a couple other side farms that are coming in as well, but they're going to be our main partner coming in to join. And so I think they're getting geared up and you know, making their plans so they can have plenty of pints for everyone to be able to walk home with.
So is this going to be the first of many, or?
We hope so. You know, as we're kind of creating these events, we're trying to see what will land with the community for them to support and request for more of. But we really do want to highlight the different aspects of downtown Fayetteville. We don't want to just plug and play the same event every time. And so we really take a lot of time and effort to create something that's unique and special and highlight what makes Fayetteville so distinct and to highlight its personality. And so, you know, looking for opportunities and, you know, there'll be more and more things coming, you know, down the pipeline of more events. But these will be kind of our two main, you know, mid-range festivals for now. And it'll be Falltoberfest is on the schedule for this year, September 29th on Dixon Street. But we're really excited to kick off summer up here and to highlight kind of this side of downtown, all of the new businesses that have popped up in the past few months. And then also, you know, the high level of retail that we have. This is, honestly, I've worked with several downtowns and the magnitude of retail that we have dedicated to downtown is pretty unique. And I love to highlight that kind of special aspect of Fayetteville. I have been working with downtowns and historic neighborhoods for close to 15 years now, and have worked in several different cities. And I've loved my time in Fayetteville. And I tell you what's so cool about it is, you know, first of all, it's absolutely beautiful. This is one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been in. And everyone has been so excited to have, you know, this dedicated organization and has been very welcoming. But I think what my favorite thing about Fayetteville is the local pride. These people love their city, and it is not hard to get everyone hyped up and ready to celebrate. And I think that shows whenever we had Falltoberfest last fall, we were hoping for just a couple of thousand people to come out and enjoy the day. And we hit well over 10,000 people. And I heard comments like, oh, this felt like old Fayetteville, and I hadn't seen people, and, you know, I ran into people I hadn't seen in years. And I think that camaraderie and that support is so special, and I think that to bring all the locals out to really support and embrace these events is something that I'm trying to accomplish. And I think with everyone working with me between, you know, downtown leadership, city leadership, and our downtown businesses, I think we really have that magic formula to help us accomplish that.
Kelly Rich is Downtown Director with the Downtown Fayetteville Coalition. For more about this weekend Strawberry Festival taking place Sunday afternoon, as well as future events hosted by the Coalition, you can visit downtownfay.org. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Happy Tuesday to you. A reminder that KUAF is Partnering up with The Momentary, we're giving away two-day passes to Fresh Grass Bentonville that takes place this weekend. The two-day all-ages festival will feature live music performances, workshops, local vendors, and more. The winners of the tickets are going to be announced tomorrow right here on Ozarks at Large. Ryan Versey, KUAF Underwriting Director, will be playing Santa Claus again. So you have a little time left to enter. You can enter the giveaway at KUAF.com. And if you'd like more information or, you know, tickets, don't think you're lucky, at themomentary.org/freshgrass. By the way, the Fayetteville Public Library has invited me to have a public conversation with author Taylor Jenkins Reid next month. She's the New York Times bestselling author of Malibu Rising, Daisy Jones and the Six, and several other novels. Our conversation will take place in the Event Center at the Fayetteville Public Library on June 6th. Registration for the author talk and book signing will open on Thursday morning at 9. Tickets are required to attend. And, you know, don't sleep on this. You remember R.L. Stine last October? The line was formed a long time ago. If you waited too late, you didn't get in for that conversation. So, tickets are required to attend. You can start reserving your ticket Thursday morning at 9. Full details are available by going to the events page at faylib.org. The deadline to apply for a single-parent scholarship fund of Northwest Arkansas is approaching. Applications have to be turned in by June 15th. That's 1 month from tomorrow. Be here before you know it. There are some qualifications. Applicants must be a single parent, a resident of either Benton, Carroll, Madison, or Washington County, a legal United States resident, or a resident with DACA status, have a high school diploma or GED, and have a moderate to low income, typically not more than 250% of federal poverty guidelines. You can find out more information and make your application by going to spsfnwa.org. Just think Single Parent Scholarship Fund of Northwest Arkansas, spsfnwa.org. Speaking of June 15th, that's the date for the return of the Ted Ludwig Quartet to Northwest Arkansas. The concert is the next one in the Northwest Arkansas Summer Jazz Concert Series. I say return, but this configuration of the quartet will actually be playing together for the very first time. The band will consist of Ludwig, Pat Bianchi, Paul Carr, and Stephen Pruitt. Each of the four musicians has played previous summer jazz festivals in Northwest Arkansas, but they've never all been together at a summer jazz festival in the same ensemble. Concert is June 15th. That's a Saturday at 7:30 in the Star Theater at Walton Arts Center. For his fifth anniversary of producing the podcast I Am Northwest Arkansas, Randy Wilburn is talking to people who have, like Randy and his family, moved to the region in the past 10 to 12 years. He's continuing that focus with the latest episode, a conversation with a couple who moved to Northwest Arkansas just a few years ago from the Northeast. Brittany and Amin relocated to the area for work and now also collaborate on the Instagram feed NWA Transplants. They say their knowledge of Arkansas before they moved here was limited at best.
So I'm from Buffalo, New York originally.
And I'm from Toronto, Canada.
And we didn't know a soul in Arkansas prior to moving here, so we really didn't know anything about it. And what you don't realize when you don't live here is that outside of here, Arkansas only makes the news for something terrible. If Arkansas made the news, it's a bad story that's happening. So it started in probably January of 2020. Mm-hmm. Amin was graduating residency that year and starting to look at jobs. And we knew we didn't want to stay on Long Island, where we were at the time, but we weren't really sure where we wanted to go. And a job came on the list in Arkansas for Amin. And I was like, absolutely not. You can go to Arkansas by yourself. I am not coming with. I'm like, you're from Canada. You don't even know what Arkansas is.
Well, I originally thought like Arkansas was close to California. So yeah, I was like, this is great. We're closer to California.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not exactly sure where it is, but I know that it's not close to California.
Right.
So I was a hard no at this time. But COVID hit in March of 2020. And I think for a lot of people, including us, that has a way of changing your perspective on some things. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden the world shut down and dental in particular shut down. And I had a job that was going to bring me back on Long Island, but Amin was going to be graduating in June of 2020 in a dental world that wasn't really hiring.
Yeah. You could only find like part-time jobs if you were lucky at that time.
Okay. Because they weren't expanding. because everybody was in fear of what was going to happen
right.
and cash flow, and people didn't want to hire. So there wasn't much left on the list anymore. And we looked at North Dakota before Arkansas. And yeah, I think that helped the decision. North Dakota is a very flat land.
Yeah.
And it was cold. It was like April, May, and it was freezing, and we hate cold weather. And then we came
Did you
here.
Actually visit?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We actually
yeah.
okay. And so y'all were serious.
Well, yeah, it was COVID, and I was unemployed. He was doing like remote learning. And yeah, so we took a chance. Yeah. No, it doesn't make any sense now looking
yeah.
back.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I think everybody, you know, it's funny you say that. It's like everybody ventured in that first, at least that first 6 months after everything shut down. So if you go from March 2020 through like September 2020, things were just kind of really weird. Cause like my wife and I, we were talking about the fact that, yeah, you remember how our kids went out on spring break and never came back. That's literally what happened this time in 2020. They went on spring break and then they never went.
No,
and I'm like,
never
man, you guys are here every day. What's going on? So, you know.
Yeah. We were only supposed to be home for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we landed in Northwest Arkansas and everything was green and it was hilly and there was so much nature. And we stayed at the Carnal, the Inn at Carnal Hall.
Oh, nice.
Downtown Fayetteville.
So when you walk around there and you see all those, like, what is man?
The sorority row.
Like beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like that stuff we used to see on TV and in movies.
Right.
And we went on a hike and we went to downtown Bentonville and we started to feel like this was a place that we could see ourselves living. And my mom told this story at our wedding when we were first looking for where we wanted to live. She said, make a list of your priorities. And this was earlier. This was pre-COVID. But it was like close to the ocean, an international airport, access to an NBA team because a man likes to watch basketball.
Okay.
A metropolitan city, like a small, big city. I don't think we really got any of those things. But we realized that there were certain things that we didn't prioritize before that we really prioritize now. Like we love the nature. Mm-hmm. We love being in this like ever-growing community. And if we want to see an NBA team, we can take a drive
to OKC.
OKC.
Yeah. you have options. It's funny because like you didn't get the ocean, but you got Beaver Lake.
Yeah.
That's right.
You didn't get the NBA city, but we're about to get, well, we have a minor league baseball team. Every year, one of the fill in the blank Arkansas college sports teams is a legitimate contender of something.
One of them
just depends. And then you always have the option of driving to OKC, which is 3 hours away for NBA. You can go up to Kansas City for Sporting KC, the Kansas City Chiefs, the World Championship Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Royals. So you've got a lot that's really not that far away.
And soccer is coming
Soccer's coming. USL, shout out to USL Arkansas, because that's going to start up in Rogers in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. It's going to be amazing. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. You don't, you know, you can make a list of the things that you want. But then once you come and experience Northwest Arkansas, sometimes you end up modifying that list.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what happened for us.
Yeah, that's literally what happened.
Yeah, I love that. So tell me what your thoughts are about, you come here, did you feel like you were going to have a hard time kind of getting to know people? What was that aspect of it like? Because, I mean, it's one thing just to relocate and maybe had you found a job before you got here, or did you find a job once you got boots on the ground?
So Amin came for his job first, and we actually did long distance for 9 months during COVID, which was super fun.
Yeah.
10 out of 10, just a blast. Especially there was a lot of travel restrictions during that time, too. So it was a little tricky. And I interviewed for a job at the same time that we came for Amin, and that's my partner now. But at the time, he was like, all right, like, I like you. This is cool. But we have to be at 50% capacity right now. So, like, we'll be in touch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, be in touch. See you soon. Like, And so we waited. And then probably around the fall, he was like, all right, the restrictions have calmed down. Like, let's get you back out here to take a look and go from there. And I'm really thankful for that.
Now that you've been here for a couple of years and you've had a chance to evolve and grow, what is the biggest surprising factor about Northwest Arkansas that you weren't aware of before you got here? But now that you're here, you're like, man, if I had known this, this would have been the clincher. This would have put me over the top from a decision-making perspective about moving here.
Yeah. I feel like the growth, and you can say the growth, but not really like understand the growth.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much happening at any given time, not just like events on the weekends between Fayetteville, Rogers, Bentonville, Springdale. Like every one of those squares is also growing with constant new places. The Greenway is constantly growing.
Yeah.
Like people talked about the Greenway a lot, but I didn't understand really how expansive it is, how much work goes into maintaining that. There's constantly a new playground. When our nephew visits, we're like, we got a new playground.
Right,
like,
right, right.
And they're not wood chips. We've got like state of the art playgrounds here.
I know. Yeah, it's impressive.
And
yeah.
We'll go like when we were at the Momentary and it was an event, all of a sudden towards the end of the night, free water bottles are being handed out. And we're like, oh, how much do we owe? And they're like, no, it's free.
Like, that would not
this water bottle would be $20.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Especially coming from like New York City and anything like that.
You're just expecting to pay for everything. Where we come from, you know?
Like you're partying all night and they're like, here's a bottle of water for free. Right. Like, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's stuff at parks. There's like free popsicle things being handed out. Like right. It's just, I don't know. It's a really growing community in a really fun way.
You guys you almost fell into the whole NWA transplants thing, right? Because I would imagine that when you started your Instagram, it was just to kind of chronicle what you were dealing with and going through and maybe telling a few stories here and there. But it has since taken on a life of its own. Would you say that is pretty correct?
That's great.
Yeah, it definitely, it's got its own, I don't know, growth to it now too.
Yeah.
And connections that it makes for us with the community. And when we first started it, it was just, I think our original why was to show people what it was actually like. Because when I was moving from Long Island, I'd be like, okay, your next doctor's going to take over. I'm moving. And they'd be like, where are you moving to? And I'd be like, Arkansas.
It's like, immediately, what? Yeah, immediately.
They would always be like, but why?
I know.
And then I got here and I told people like, hey, I just moved. And they'd be like, oh, where'd you move from? I'd be like, New York. And they'd be like, but why? Like, why would you come here? You went the wrong direction.
Right.
And so for us, this was the right direction. We kind of wanted to showcase why. And I said it before, but the only thing we knew was bad things on the news. So we kind of wanted to show the good things and what this area is really like when you're living there. And it's definitely changed and evolved. When we first started, I think we were doing photos and now we do more reels and really kind of showcase events and different food spots and experiences too that we have, just to give a window into what the community is like. Because people say like, oh, Northwest Arkansas is not Arkansas. But it is.
It is.
Way that like people might say New York City is not the rest of New York, but like it's part of New York.
It is.
Northwest Arkansas is part of Arkansas. You're going to find a lot of different areas. And no matter what you're into, you're going to find your people. When we first visited, this was another thing that surprised us. That first visit was in May of 2020. And we were coming off of, I think, downtown Fayetteville somewhere.
It was on College Street.
Okay. And then we saw one person in a truck holding a Black Lives Matter sign.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I did not think I would see that in Arkansas. And I'm like, we got to take a picture because no one's going to believe me. And we turned the corner. I don't know what street we were on, but it was a mile long protest.
I remember that was on Dixon.
It was right here on the square. There was basically people were, it was standing room only on the square. And the Washington County Sheriff's Department was out there and everybody else. And there were several individuals that were kind of speaking and they were doing kind of a Black Lives Matter march around the square.
But I was floored because we did not think that we would see that here. We were impressed by one person in a truck.
Right.
And I think the first Pride Parade had like 20,000 people that we were here. But there's also bikes, blues and barbecue. Like there's so much that whatever you're into, if it's motorcycles, diversity, different markets. It's here, but you might not know that. That's not really something you can Google. Like, what's here that I might be interested in? So we show the things that we go to, and sometimes we promote other things that we might not be able to make it to, just so we can kind of be that connection for people.
Brittany and Amin talk with Randy Wilburn for the latest episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Their full discussion with Randy is available on the latest episode, and you can get that through your preferred podcast platform or by going to the imnorthwestarkansas.com website or by navigating to the podcast page at KUAF.com. And when you go to the podcast page at KUAF.com, you can find other podcasts that are created and distributed through here.
Last year, to celebrate KUAF's 50th anniversary, we had some former KUAF staff and friends of the station stop by to share their memories with us in the listening lab.
But it's kind of cool to think that KUAF has been around that long. And you know, radio is one of these professions that they have been pronouncing its death for how many years? KUAF has found its own niche as a powerful public radio service and voice in Northwest Arkansas.
The Listening Lab is a platform to let you share the stories of your life, this region, and each other. And we want to listen to you. Share your story with us and the entire KUAF community through the Listening Lab. Go to KUAF.com/the Listening Lab to learn more.
Back with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Catherine Shurlds, who happens to be our militant grammarian. Hello.
Hi. Kyle, in 2009, Japan Today published the headline, "Violinist Linked to Japan Airlines Crash Blossoms."
Sure, I'll take your word for it.
The article concerned the accomplishments of violinist Diana Yukawa, I think.
Okay.
Whose father was a victim in the 1985's devastating Japan Airlines crash. So the headline is saying, and it has too many modifiers between the subject violinist and the verb blossom. It's saying the violinist blossoms, is doing well. But in order to identify it, it says violinist linked to Japan Airlines crash
blossoms.
Right. So the editors, so you might be inclined to ask, what's a crash blossom, right? So the editors suggested that crash blossom should be applied to any strangely phrased headline. New York Times language columnist Ben Zimmer points out that English has countless nouns that can also be verbs, mm-hmm. and vice versa, sometimes leading to confusion. And also, plural nouns usually end in S, but so do many singular present tense verbs. Phones, with an S, can refer to multiple phones.
Right.
As a plural noun, or one person making a phone call.
Yeah.
She phones her every day. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Singular nouns, which usually don't end in an S, and neither do many plural verbs. Phone can refer to one telephone, a singular noun, or multiple people making phone calls, as in they phone. We also habitually modify nouns with other nouns. So if the modifying noun can also be interpreted as a verb, we get crash blossoms. So let's see if you can explain what's wrong with these headlines.
Okay.
And best based on the grammatical missteps identified by Zimmer, here's a classic crash blossom from the 2006 AOL news headline. Gator attacks puzzle experts.
Oh, so what they're trying to say is experts don't know why this gator attacked,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
But gator attack, it sounds like it's going after Will Shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what's the verb there? Think about it. Gator attacks puzzle.
Gator expert. Attacks puzzle. So puzzle is the verb.
That's right. Although you see attacks, you think
right.
that's the verb.
Right.
Gator attacks? That's what we're talking
attacks
about.
Attacks is the verb, and gator is the adjective.
Yeah,
what kind of attacks?
Gator
attacks.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh, you're so good.
Well.
homographs are another major factor in the creation of crash blossoms. That's when words are spelled the same but have different meanings and or pronunciations. An example of a homograph problem, as well as fodder for tort reform, came in an April 1983 article in the Buffalo News. Jerk injures neck, wins award. So what do you think?
Wait, give that to me one more time.
Jerk injures neck, wins award.
We're not talking about someone we don't like.
No, even though that's what it sounds like.
Right. Mm-hmm. So jerk injures. Mm-hmm. Oh, so like if you're on a roller coaster and you've been jerked back, mm-hmm. you've injured your neck, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and then you won some sort of
right.
legal settlement.
And what's really makes the headline really bad, besides the jerk being confusing,
yeah.
is that there's not an understood subject for wins award.
Right.
Jerk injures neck, rider wins award, or something like that, you know.
It used to be every headline, if it was in print, had to fit a...
Yeah, and that's what we're really talking about, is the passé headline writing.
Right,
yeah.
Because they would have to fit, and if you've never written headlines, you may not know this, but different letters have different spaces, and you'd have to fit. Mm-hmm. Now online, you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly, yeah. The jerk in question here is of the sharp, sudden movement variety. A man won $25,000 in damages from a motel chain after he was handed the wrong room key and actually walked in on a woman in a nightgown. He testified that the weight of the luggage he was carrying caused him to jerk his neck suddenly as he turned to leave the room, after which he suffered a ruptured cervical disc. Okay, so we just talked about why headlines, especially newspaper headlines as opposed to online, are prone to crash blossoms. Mm-hmm. It's the brevity that's required. Full sentences usually contain enough context for us to figure out the truth, but newspaper headlines are written for brevity, often lacking clarity. And the capitalization in newspaper headlines, and this can happen online as well, can obscure the difference between proper and common nouns. An example of the capitalization confusion is seen in the April 1978 headline in the Atlanta Constitution. Farmer Bill dies in house.
All right, yes, because, oh, you know Farmer Bill down the road. He's dead. No, it's legislation that died in the House of Representatives.
All right. It's not an obit.
Right.
The House of Representatives had just voted to kill legislation that would have increased the federal target prices for crops for some farmers. So, Kyle, a while back, you and I had fun with some crash blossoms that the Columbia Journalism Review published in collections. Today, I want you to tell me, using grammatical terms if possible, why these headline writers should have chosen other wording in these crash blossoms provided by Mental Floss.
Okay.
Juvenile court to try shooting defendant.
So the court is not going to take aim.
Right.
And again, it comes to those words, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's tries here is a verb, but
the problem
it's a legal
is,
term.
But shooting is the problem.
Right.
The misunderstood.
Right, because shooting is an adjective.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, it's the shooting. What kind of victim? The shooting victim.
Yeah. Okay. The April 1978 issue of Coshocton Tribune, I don't know what that is, Indian Ocean Talks.
So, you know, the ocean didn't actually speak. That would be pretty amazing if it did. Mm-hmm. These were a conference or negotiations about.
Yeah, it's a badly written headline about an update on negotiations between the U.S. and the Soviet Union to curtail naval activity in the Indian Ocean. So a careful headline writer will recognize that talks might be a crash blossom to avoid.
Exactly.
Another phrase to avoid is found in this 1974 Detroit Free Press headline, Milk Drinkers Turn to Powder.
Milk drinkers turned to powder. So it's not a Sodom and Gomorrah sort of thing.
No.
Milk drinkers talk.
No, talk's not on there. Turn to powder. Milk drinkers turn to powder.
Oh, is this like it's a trend that if you drink milk, I don't understand that headline at all.
It's when milk got real expensive.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
so they're choosing.
Yes.
They're pivoting.
Yes. That would be a good word.
I gotcha.
In a September 1980 issue of the Burlington Free Press, kicking baby considered to be healthy.
Right. If your infant, you know, is active with its legs and feet, you're in good shape.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't kick the baby.
And here it is again, verb. It's not a verb. It's an adjective.
I bet most of these headline writers, when they have 24 hours of clarity, look at it and go, what was I thinking?
I
but when you're in the minute, it just makes sense.
Yeah. From Florida in December 1980, this Tri-City Herald headline, Jacksonville pornography free, officials say.
Wait, Jacksonville pornography free. Uh-huh. So there's not a distribution of no-cost porn.
No.
Jackson pornography free, officials say.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out.
Jacksonville. How about switch it around? Pornography in Jacksonville. No, that won't help. That's when it would
yeah.
Be. Okay.
Yeah.
Headline writers typically don't use the form of the verb to be, mm-hmm. which is, was, are, etc. But in this case, the word is would have helped understanding. Unless it's put in the wrong place. Is it Jacksonville is pornography free?
Oh.
Or is Jacksonville pornography is free?
I see. Yeah. So there's no pornography in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, we got rid of it, right? Yeah.
Well, and so read that to me one more time.
Okay. Jacksonville pornography free, comma, officials say.
Yeah, see, now if following pornography, if you said Jacksonville pornography free city, pornography free would have a hyphen between the two,
uh-huh.
and you would better mm-hmm. understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, as I was looking at it, I was even thinking, well, a hyphen would really have that. But also the word is, I mean, it's against the rules, but, you know, if it helps the reader and doesn't get you in the Columbia Journalism Review.
Right.
Jacksonville didn't sponsor free porn for its citizens. In fact, quite the opposite. Baptist ministers had finally succeeded in shutting down every adult bookstore and adult movie theater in the city.
Hmm.
The mayor was quick to acknowledge that those kinds of businesses usually didn't stay shuttered for long.
Yeah, well.
Tonight, there's no pornography in Jacksonville, he said. Tomorrow, there may be. I would never admit it, Kyle, but perhaps it's a good thing that news is delivered these days mostly online with its unlimited space for headlines.
Yeah.
But think of the chuckles we're missing.
That's right. There's still room for bad headlines.
Oh, yeah.
Our Middleton grammarian is Catherine Sherrills.
The legal landscape for abortion access continues to shift.
This week, the Supreme Court heard arguments on Idaho's abortion ban.
State-by-state abortion debate.
Florida voters will decide whether to enshrine abortion rights in their state constitution.
And voters are paying attention. NPR News is exploring how debates over reproductive rights could impact the presidential election. Join us for We the Voters.
We the Voters places an emphasis on election year conversations regarding reproductive rights all this week on All Things Considered. Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, Mariah Berquist is a poet living in Fayetteville. She sought some advice about putting her work into a chapbook on a freelance platform. A poet responded, who just happens to be living through the war in Gaza, and a friendship has taken hold.
It's really giving both of us some sort of like deeper purpose. It's helping her to just like heal from severe trauma and be able to maintain some, you know, relative sanity. And it's helping me to also hold this event that's happening, you know.
War, poetry, and friendship from Fayetteville to Gaza. That's on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks at Large is a production of 91.3 KUAF Fayetteville. Contributors to today's show included Jack Travis, Sophia Narani, Randy Wilburn, and our militant grammarian, Catherine Schultz.
Matthew produced today's show inside the Bruce and Ann Applegate News Studio 2. Technical director at KUAF, YK Karen Bauer.
Kyle, we've had a lot of talk about bicycles on today's show. My son just had his first birthday. One of the things we got him for his first birthday was a bicycle. Now, I don't remember my first bicycle. I don't know if you remember your first bicycle.
I do, because I learned to ride a bike when I was 36.
Okay. My first bicycle came before I was 36.
You're not 36 yet, are you?
That's true.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to say that. I had training wheels. I had like a standard bicycle with training wheels. Bicycles they make for kids now is really fascinating to me.
It's the Strider thing?
Yeah. So like his bike, it doesn't have pedals on it, but it's set up in a way that like kind of is supposed to help them find their center of balance, which is really critical to riding a bicycle. So it's really fascinating to see how bike technology has progressed over the last 20 or 40 years.
I'd be for an adult Strider.
I think we can make that happen.
I guess that's kind of like a Peloton, isn't it?
I will not be doing the Graveler this year. I just want it to be known. When she talked about 40 to 70 miles 6 days in a row, that's a bit much for me.
Yeah,
well, I don't think I could do that.
I mean, good for those people who are doing it.
Absolutely.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Matthew Moore. Thanks for being with us. Be well.
Support comes from Gotta Hold Brewing in Eureka Springs. Open year-round, even in the winter. Gotta Hold has a calendar of events including live music, local art, theology on tap, and more. Providing craft beer, games, and Just Be coffee bar and twisted taco food truck. More at gottahold.beer.